to a podcast from one of the adult Sunday school classes of Faith Baptist Church in Mattawan, Michigan. Our teacher for this session is Roger Toonstra. Please listen in as we join the class already in progress.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for your love and care. You know all these needs, and there are many in our church here and in our extended families and acquaintances. And we just pray, first of all, that you would assure our hearts that you're still at work and you are able to handle all these things that we have on our minds and on our hearts, and that you are capable and you are loving and you're at work, and we're thankful for that. And we pray for those that are in our families and among our friends who are unsaved, that you would be with them and work in their lives to draw them to you. And we pray for pray for those that have physical needs, for Emily's unspoken. We pray for that, and for Brian, and for the one that Kathy was talking about that has the brain bleed. You would be with that situation, and pray for Tim's friend, Bob Miller, that needs salvation, and pray for my son and his heart situation and the rehab coming up in the next weeks, and our sister-in-law, Wendy, and for Tammy. We continue to pray for her, and thank you for good progress for her. We pray that would continue, and then we think of Jack and the need there, and for good wisdom on the part of the medical people and the family to know what's the best decision at this point, and that you would just give your comfort and strength in all these situations. So many of these different things are frightening and hard, and so we just pray for your strength, wisdom, comfort, and for your goodness and glory to be displayed in all of these situations and in all of our lives as we seek to live them for you. And we pray for this day, that it might be a day that would honor you and glorify you in the things we do and say, and even as we think today, that we'd be able to think on things that are true and right and lovely and good and all of those things that you've told us to think about. Sometimes we spend our time thinking about negative things and what could happen and what bad things are happening, and help us to readjust our thinking so that we focus on the things that are good and lovely. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got some new papers for you today. We're talking about the Christian worldview, and our next goal over the next several weeks is to kind of look at the big picture. And so I've drawn a sketch out here. Remember in the Answers to Genesis, we had one of these too, where there was the creation and the corruption and so forth down the list. And I was going to be so far ahead I could put page numbers on all of this, but I'm not nearly that far ahead. You see, on the first one where it says before time, I've got page 7 and 8, and that's about all you get right today is page 7 and 8. But my goal is to do this. We're going to be kind of skimming over the big picture. And then we're going to narrow down to the areas of life. Finances, marriage, parenting, government, all the different things that make up a worldview. What I said at the very beginning when we first started this series was most Christians have a worldview that's not necessarily consistent together. Plus, it's usually bits and pieces. They see one part of it, but then they don't see how it fits with something else. And so sometimes that leads to bad decisions, or it leads to not such good opportunities to witness. I mean, we're not consistent in our witnessing and getting things straight, so then we get caught in corners, and people can trap us into things that we didn't want to be trapped into as far as our thinking is concerned. So we want to look at the big picture, and the order I'm going to go in is not the order that they're on the paper. We're going to start today with talking about before time, and then we're going to jump. After we get done with that, probably this week and next week, we'll talk about that, and then we're going to jump all the way to the end, after time. And you can even be thinking about that as we talk today about what was going on, what happened before time. Then in your minds over the next couple of weeks, you can be thinking, okay, if you just skip everything in between for now and just jump after the millennium and after judgment and after all that's said and done, what's there and what's happening? And then the big question is, why? What is God doing? Because we tend to look at what? Just our, we live 70 or 80 years here on this world, and we tend to be focused in on just here and now, our own little situation, our needs, and we should. But we don't sometimes get the big picture. What is God doing? God is interested in us. He loves us. He cares about us as individuals. But He's got some big scheme going on. And we're a part of that. But we need to see that whole thing. So that's kind of my goal. So, before time. That's what we want to talk about today. And if you look at your sheet, the first question is, first blank to fill in is easy. And it doesn't even finish the sentence. In the beginning, God. How is that different from the secular worldview? They would say in the beginning, Big Bang, or
nothing.
In the beginning, nothing. I don't know. I mean, I know what the scientists say. I worked in science area for a long time, and I know what they say, but you really would have a hard time pinning some individual scientist down, even an atheist one, who would say that before the Big Bang, there was absolutely nothing. No atoms, no molecules, no energy, nothing. And then that nothing did what? Flew up? I mean, that's what comes across. But if you were just talking one-on-one, they always will fudge a little bit and say, well, there had to be some energy somewhere. There had to be a universe, maybe a different universe somewhere else, and it came and invaded us, and then that caused the Big Bang. Well, then you got to go back to the other universe and find out why that one was there. So you find very, very, very few people that say there was absolutely nothing of any kind, and then it blew up, and then here we are. Once you get the Big Bang going, then you got all kinds of people, non-Christian people, that can work through evolution and do all that stuff. They come up with that. But I want to know about that first millisecond, you know, what happened then. So we say, as Christians, our worldview is, in the beginning, God. And we believe that God exists as a Trinity, right? Has He always existed as a Trinity?
Yes.
Yes. We believe He's always existed as a Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what form, we're before time, what form, if you can say that, what is or was God in at that time? God the Father. What form?
Spirit.
The Spirit. God is a spirit. What about the Son, Jesus Christ? No body at that point. What form was He in?
Spirit.
He would have to be some kind of a spirit, too. And the Holy Spirit would be a spirit. Now, where was God in the beginning, before time?
Everywhere.
God is omnipresent. Of course, some would say, well, there wasn't anywhere to be because He hadn't made it yet. But our minds can't comprehend that. So, but there was God. You have the three persons of the Trinity. And I can't really visualize it, but I try to contemplate that idea. There was nothing except this being that we call God, who existed in three persons, all spiritual persons. Okay? Let's talk about some of the characteristics of God. I left a big blank, and we're just going to brainstorm here. Something we call them attributes. So, according to the Bible, according to our understanding, what was this God like?
All the O's.
All the O's. It's okay.
All the O's.
Yeah. All the O's. Okay. I thought you were saying holy, holy or something. All the O's. Okay. What are the O's?
Omniscient.
Let's go that one first. Omniscient. Which, if you don't like how to spell omniscient, then you can go with all knowing. Right? What does that mean? God knows everything. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Think about that. God's never had a new thought. Because every thought He's ever had, He's had forever. So God is all-knowing. What else?
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent, which means all-powerful. God can do anything but fail. Can you make a rock big enough? No.
Yes, you can.
I asked my son, my grandson, could God build a rock, make a rock so big that he couldn't lift it? And he said, oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. Because then he couldn't lift it, but God can do anything. But that's a futile discussion.
Child mind.
Yeah, I was just ready. All right, so we had omniscient, omnipotent, and what else?
Omnipresent.
God is everywhere at the same time. All right, so we got the O's out of the way. Now, what else? What else is God like?
Holy.
Holy? What did you say? My hearing must be bad then.
Love.
Okay. You said holy. All right, so God is holy. Holy means
perfect.
No, actually. Holy, perfect is another word we could put in there.
Set apart for special use.
Set apart. He's totally other. There's nobody to set God apart, but he's totally separate from us. He's completely different and in a special category all his own. When he asks us to be holy, it does include righteousness and all those things, but it means to be separated apart. All right, so, and Emily said love, so God's loving.
Merciful.
Merciful. Why am I having such a hard time today? Hearing. Dennis?
Unchanging.
Yes. You know that Steve Green song? Is it Steve Green? Unchangeable, unstoppable. Forget the other.
Indescribable.
Just.
God is just.
All-knowing.
Cannot lie.
So God is truth. And remember how we define truth. Everything God says is true, and that's the way it is. He never says anything which does not conform to what actually is the way it is. So when he describes himself, he's describing himself as the way he is. All right, let's see. We have loving. I had kind on my list. Do you have kind on your list?
Righteous.
Okay, that's a good one.
Powerful.
All-powerful. Yeah, well, that was one of the omnis.
Mm-hmm. Gracious or forgiving.
Gracious and forgiving. Would you call those the same? Are those synonyms?
No, but one's definitely related to the other.
They're related. So gracious and forgiving.
Long suffering.
Yes, long suffering. Now, we're in before time. Was God long suffering?
He's unchanging. Yeah.
He's unchanging. But there was, am I right or wrong? There was nothing to suffer long through before he created anything.
But he knew he would.
Well, I know he knew he would, but and is how he is. Right, but it had no way of displaying itself, even the forgiving part of God and the gracious part of God had no way of expressing itself until there was someone or something to be gracious toward or forgiving of. Right?
But it was there.
Pardon?
But it was there.
It was still there. Yes, he had those characteristics, but nobody else could see it.
Didn't even use
it. But there was nobody else to see it anyway. Ruth.
But from his perspective, doesn't he see eternity, past, and eternity?
He sees it all in one big picture. Yeah. But there is such a thing as time because he created time. But in his mind, there's no. I mean, I don't know. It's too hard. So I've got all. I've got unchanging. I've got all wise. Is God beautiful? Isn't there a song? Does that song come up from a Bible verse? You are beautiful beyond description. Is that from a Bible verse or is that just a song? Anybody know? I've got perfect on my list. I don't know if we talked about that. I've got creative. Is God creative? I would think so.
Generous?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody say without error, or I guess perfect maybe categorized that way. Infinite. And you know what's interesting is he's infinite in all these characteristics. He's infinite in his holiness. He's infinite in his all his perfections.
in his beauty. He's infinitely beautiful. You can put infinitely in front of everything. Got merciful, gracious. I've got incomprehensible. Well, I think that kind of was alluded to. I've got wrathful on here. Is that a characteristic of God or is that wrong? God is wrathful. Is that an attribute of him? Will he show wrath to anyone? I mean, is that part of his characteristic?
Yeah.
He's jealous. Yes, God is a jealous God. Who does he have to be jealous of?
He's jealous for us.
And he's jealous for us. He's jealous for himself. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not supposed to be jealous. So why is it okay for God to be jealous, but not we? For not
if
us.
If he has a perfect jealousy like he does, then it would be okay for us to be jealous. He would be jealous, kind of a sinful jealousy.
We can have a sinful jealousy because we are jealous of our equals. Other human beings is who we usually are jealous of, right? But God is at the peak of the pyramid, and there's no one else up there. And if anyone shows up and claims to be on that equal spot, God is not happy about that. Now, we have a problem when somebody, if we're the peak of something, if as a human being, I'm the best of something, some category, and somebody else aspires to be as good as I am at whatever that is, whatever skill that is, maybe a basketball player or whatever, which I would never be anywhere near the top of. But you get somebody else pushing for that spot, and maybe even surpasses. Maybe I'm a runner in the Olympics and I win gold medals, but then somebody's going to come along and beat the record, right? Now they're the one on top. And there can be a jealousy there. For God, if somebody aspires to be equal with God, God has a right to be jealous and to claim that spot for himself. Now that almost sounds wrong. But it would be untruthful. Think about this. If somebody who was not God aspired to be equal with God, and if God said, "Oh, I'm just going to be humble and let him be God," then would that be truthful on God's part to give somebody else the first spot when God is actually the one at the first spot? It sounds almost kind of humble to us, or maybe to a lost person out there. If you're talking this way to somebody, it almost sounds like a good thing for God to just, like, what are you supposed to do? You first, go ahead. That's nice for us to do. You take the limelight. But if God says to Roger, "You take the limelight," that can't be. That sounds almost humble, but that can't be, because God is saying Roger should be in the limelight. Roger is like God, and that's an untruthful thing to say, because nothing else is the same place where God is. Yeah.
Are you basically describing what happened to Lucifer?
We're basically describing what happened to Lucifer, right? He aspired to be like God, and God could not allow that, because nobody can be like God. Not because he's jealous of an equal, because he's just jealous for the spot. And it's honest and truthful to claim his rightful place as God, because he's the only one.
The only one that has the power, the presence, the knowledge to do things in a wise manner. I mean, if anybody else were to be like, I know how to deal with this. Well, do you know how to deal with all of this all at the same time, at all times? No.
And sometimes we presume that spot, don't we? Here's how you should solve this. This is what you should do. And we think we've got it all. And it's not that we shouldn't pray about things and ask God to do things for us, but we have no clue what God's doing. John Piper, I think, said, I saw a post recently, God is doing 10,000 things in your life this week, and you maybe know three. Yeah. Lindy, do you have something to say? Somebody here, Paul.
Several of them talked on the line. One, he's combative. He's a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He's complete.
Complete, that's a good one.
He's peaceable.
Hmm?
And I love the fact that he has a sense of humor.
Does God laugh?
Yeah. He's a judge.
Mm-hmm.
King of kings, Lord of lords. He's patient.
Yeah, patient. I don't have patient in here.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, kind of. Now, we are claiming, let's talk about the worldview aspect of it. We are claiming as Christians, not that this is our religion, and we believe in this kind of God, where our next door neighbor believes in the Hindu sort of God, and they have their way and we have our way, and like the rest of the world, that's the way they think. We're making this claim that this is our religion. And you can think this if you want to, and the Hindu can think what he wants, which he can, it's a free country. And the Muslim next door to him can think the way he wants and describe his Allah the way he wants, and we can all do that. That's the freedom of the United States. We can do that. I don't know what their claims are, whether they're claiming truth or not, but what we're saying is, this is not our religion just. This is the way it actually is. That's what we're claiming. This is the way it actually is. And at the Hindu view, we had that series on the cults and stuff. The Hindu view, they have their view too. And they might have been raised in it like you were raised in yours. But we're saying we might have been raised in ours, but we're saying ours is the truth. Not just because we were raised in it, but because that's what's actually true. That's the way it actually is. And if that's true, then the Hindus are wrong, and the Muslims are wrong. And then they would say, they would have the same discussion in their place. If we're right, then those Christians over there at Faith Baptist are wrong. So there's a truth battle going on. But if you find people saying, well, they can believe that over there, and it's true for them, and ours is true for us, and everybody's is true for everybody else, you have no more discussion. And so then we're done talking, and that's not a good place to be. So you must always argue for the fact that there is a truth. And then we can say, okay, now whose is right? Of course. Anybody would say that. All right, among the persons of the Godhead, there was. Now, this you might think is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go here, but it doesn't. What goes here in number four, among the persons of the Godhead, there was love, fellowship, and communication. This is before time. There was love, fellowship, and communication. Turn to John 17, verse 24. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So there was love there among the persons of the Trinity. There had to have been communication among the members of the Trinity, because early on in Genesis, when God was ready to make man, what did he say to himself? Let us make man in our image. There had to be fellowship. Fellowship means sharing something in common. Do you think the three persons of the Godhead share anything in common? Yes, they're all God. And so there's fellowship. What I want you to get the picture of here is the God we're saying exists is the God who, before anything existed by himself in three persons, and there was love and communication going on and fellowship. They weren't just sitting there kind of
twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, there were no thumbs to twiddle, but they weren't just there. There was love between them. They talked. We don't have any other word to use. They didn't have mouths because they were spirits, but there was communication there before the world began. Okay, so there was something going on. And what some implications of this, number five, there are some implications of this. We were created, we claim anyway as Christians, right, that we were created in the image of God. Now, some of the attributes we listed, he passed on to us. Some of them he didn't. He did not pass on to us the all-powerful characteristic, right? But he did pass on to us some things like creativeness. He passed on to us the ability to communicate one with another, to have fellowship, to love one another, right? He passed on some of these characteristics that he had. He passed on the ability to know things. We can't know everything, but he passed on to us in his creation. He passed on to us the ability to know something. So there's implications of the way God is for us. Now, here's where the secularists have a problem. If you accept the Big Bang, and then you accept the whole entire scheme of evolution from a completely naturalistic way, we're not talking about theistic evolution, where somebody might suggest that God had a hand in it, but I'm talking about the people that say there is no God. This all just happened, okay, by accident. Nobody designed it. This is what they believe. After you get past the Big Bang thing. That nobody designed this. What we are, what we have. Nobody designed how our brains work, how our eyes work. It just all happened. Now, if you accept that, I maintain that you can't, it's very difficult to explain what love is, for example, or what beauty is. I listened to a philosopher 50 years ago, Francis Schaeffer, who talked about, he tried to push people with their presuppositions, and he was on a boat cruise with some atheist person, and a couple, husband and wife, and they, I don't know if he was lecturing on that boat or just having discussions, but anyway, he described the scene one evening. They were on this boat cruise. The sun was setting. It was a beautiful sunset. The man, this atheist guy, and his wife were standing there on the deck, the railing. He had his arms around his wife, and they were looking at the sunset. Now, if, as a human being, you all know that feeling, the awe of that, the niceness of having somebody that you love next to you, and all of that. And Schaeffer said, I really had to do this carefully but and in love. Because he said it brought me to tears to have to do this. But he went up to them and discussed with them the fact that the radiation coming from the sun was of certain frequencies that came into the lens of their eye, and that changed the impulses on the back of their retina. And as that light came in on the back of the retina, these little electrical impulses went to different places in the cortex of the brain. And the brain released certain chemicals into their body that made him think that he was in awe. But that all the awe was electrical impulses in the brain. And the love that he felt for his wife was of the same order. He could feel his hand on her waist, but that's just electrical impulses going up an arm, going into the brain, and causing chemicals to be released into your bloodstream. And that's, if you're an atheist, that's all that is. You understand what I'm saying? It's all that is. There is, you might feel that way, but the feeling is nothing. Right? There's no spirit behind it. There's no order behind it, no creation behind it. It's all just atoms and protons and neutrons and electrons doing their thing, like a robot. What if we programmed a robot that when he saw sunsets, certain chemicals were released into the system of this robot? And then we would program it that when you see these chemicals, say, oh, what a beautiful sunset. We could make a robot that would do that. And would we think that it was actually enjoying the sunset? I mean, I've written computer code. We could do that. If such and such a chemical, if such and such color light hits the back of the camera lens, then deposit these chemicals into this bloodstream. And if the sensors of the bloodstream find such and such a chemical, have the robot say, oh my, isn't that beautiful? Exclamation point, exclamation point. Now, and the robot could do that, you go, wow, that's an amazing robot. But do you think it actually feels anything? But that's what the naturalists are saying that we are. Okay? And the Christian point of view is no. There is a God behind this who, before there was any matter, any chemicals or anything, he and the God who was there with the other two members of the Trinity had love between them. And it's a spiritual thing. They had love in among those spirits. There weren't any chemicals in any bloodstreams. They were just spirits. And they loved each other, and there was communication. That love was communicated back and forth. And there was glory there, and there was communication there, and there was fellowship there, and sharing in common there among those three members of the Godhead who were in spiritual form at that point. That's what we're claiming. And I think, doesn't life appear to follow that pattern more than the robot pattern? I mean, that doesn't prove anything, but it just seems to fit better. doesn't it? That we have these feelings like this, and that we can communicate, and we can love each other, and we can enjoy sunsets and all that kind of stuff. It seems to me that that fits the pattern better. But these are the kind of discussions you can have, you should try to have with people, you know, that are naturalists. Try to talk to them about these things. Where do you get right and wrong from? Some of these people have really strange views of what's right and wrong, but almost all of them are going to say, even if they're for homosexuality or sexual promiscuity or whatever they might be for, their whole moral structure is all different from yours. But almost everyone is going to say, 4-year-old girls should not be raped. Right? Almost everybody's going to say that. Now, there are some 4-year-old girls that are being raped by some people, and they wouldn't say that because they believe it's okay. But most normal people. Yeah. But you know what? Where is that written down? There is no Bible, right? The Bible's not the Word of God. That's what people are saying. There's no Bible. The Bible's not the Word of God. There is no God. Then how can you say that 4-year-old girls should never be raped? Well, we just kind of agree together. Let's just all agree that that's not a good thing. We'll just vote on it, you know. Well, okay, that's fine. We can vote on it. The United States can have that as a rule, but maybe in Nigeria somewhere, maybe they want to have 4-year-old girls raped. Well, no, that shouldn't be. But maybe they want that. You see the crazy depths that this can go? There is no right and wrong. It cannot be substantiated if all we are is a bunch of atoms and protons. We can agree together that, you know, it just works better if people don't go around killing each other, because then you're killing other people that could be working and making money for the economy and all those kind of rationales. But that's not the same thing as right and wrong like we think about it. That's just whatever works best. Okay. So the members of the Trinity were together. There was love, communication. Number 6 on there, in the beginning was the John 1:1, the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, that word was who?
Jesus
Christ. So that's another one of the verses that points us to in the direction of the Trinity. The second person of the Trinity is called the Word of God, and it's interesting. Even in the Greek culture where John was living, John that wrote John. They had the idea of logos, and logos was sort of the reason that's existed in the universe. Kind of, they figured that somewhere out there, there's some God, and he's got some sort of reason that keeps the universe sort of ordered, in a way. It was just kind of an idea that something somehow had this coordinated. And John comes along and says, okay, there was such a logos, and what did he do? In John 1:14, that logos, that idea, became flesh and lived here. And that just blew him away. I mean, that's like nobody ever said that before. That this idea, this word, how can a word become flesh? You know? And so that's where that's how John took their word and kind of brought it into the Christian point of view and pointed that out to us, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to wrap up there. It's almost 100 in here. Next week we want to talk about the idea that God counseled together with himself before the world began. And his counsels were all worked on then. All his decisions were made then. And we're going to look at what some of those involved and how then that came to be in time. Later we'll talk about that. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for the day. Thank you for the sunshine. And this time of year when the sun is shining, it's hard to regulate temperatures in rooms. So we appreciate everybody's patience with that. We just pray that you help us to be able to think through the things that we're talking about today and really be able to have answers to those that ask of us a reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Even in that verse I just quoted in my prayer, give a reason, right? A reason. Christianity is reasonable.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Faith Baptist Church in Mattawan, Michigan. We trust that the Bible teaching you have heard today will strengthen your faith and encourage you in your walk with Christ. If you wish to contact us, you can call the church at 269-668-3391 or find us on the web at www.fbcmattawan.org. Thanks, and we hope you can listen again soon.